All right, let's jump right into this. Open up your Bible, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Last week in his sermon, Pastor Gary talked about the importance of forgiveness. And I feel like we just need to dive a little bit deeper into this topic of forgiveness. Psalm 32 is an amazing picture of the importance of forgiveness. David wrote these words, sang these words, shouted these words, prayed these words. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Blessed, what does that mean? Happy in God. If you want to know what blessed means, or blessed, it means happy in God. Happy in God is the person whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. You want to be happy? You want to walk in joy? Receive forgiveness. Forgiveness from the Lord. So the title of today's message is The Joy of Forgiveness. I almost didn't use that title because I just finished the sermon series through the book of Philippians, and I was talking about joy, the joy of this, the joy of that. But all I could think of as I'm reading through just this man, David, pouring out his heart and the gratefulness that he has for forgiveness that he has received from the Lord is joy. I just kept thinking of joy. There is joy in forgiveness. There's a Spanish story of a father and son. They became estranged, meaning that they were butting heads. They didn't like each other a whole lot, and they didn't want to hang out with each other. So the son ran away. The father set off to find him. He searched for months with no avail, couldn't find him. Finally, in a last-ditch effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And here's how the ad ran. It says, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up. 800 men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. Forgiveness. It doesn't seem like something that we'd really need to talk about or explain. I mean, come on. You'd think because we're overjoyed and forgiveness just blows us away that everybody would be excited and look for and receive forgiveness. But that's just not the case, unfortunately. For many, forgiveness doesn't seem to be at the top of their list. They don't seem to be torn up inside because of their sin. They don't seem to be aware of even their need for forgiveness. A guy named Pete Townsend, he played for the band, The Who, I think it was. And he penned these words. This is what he has in the lyrics of the song Teenage Wasteland. I'm not saying go listen to the song or anything. Please don't get me for that. But this is just an example of where a lot of people are. The lyrics go like this. "I don't need to fight to prove I'm right. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to be forgiven." Well, Pete, here's the truth. We all need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness, and that's point one of this message about forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. Every one of us. If you just sit and allow yourself to get real with yourself, you'll understand that. You need it. We need it. Why do we need it? Because sin, we could just stop there probably with a message. Why do we need it? Because sin. Because sin grieves God. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin separates us from God. You know, we were created to walk with God, just like Adam did. He walked with God in the cool of the day. There was no separation between God and man. That's how God designed us to live. No separation. I mean, like walking with him in his presence, hearing his audible voice. That's what we were created for. But sin, what did sin do? Separated us. The ultimate result of this sin is death. Hell. And I know it's not woke, and I know it's not, you know, progressive to talk about hell, but hell is real. And hell is a place that people who part this earth in an unforgiven state, that's where they end up. Damnation, right? That's another word, destruction. And it's eternal and it's horrible. So forgiveness is of ultimate importance. And everyone needs it. I don't care how much good you did yesterday. You need forgiveness from God because you've fallen short. And until we understand what's at stake, we often don't appreciate forgiveness. But when we really look at our desperate need for it, and we really look at sin and what it's done, we start to begin to appreciate and long for and cry out like David was here. Cry out for forgiveness. Without forgiveness, we're toast. I put in parentheses here in my notes, actually burnt toast, since we were just talking about hell, right, and all that. Burnt toast. But with forgiveness comes true joy. So let's get back to Psalm 32. Let's continue with the words of David, with the cry of this man's heart. Point number two, unforgiven sin will tear us apart. So we all need forgiveness, every one of us. An unforgiven sin will tear you apart. I know you're thinking, man, I thought Pastor would come back from vacation and he'd just be like cool and, you know, and not so intense and all that kind of stuff. But I'm back. All right, point two, unforgiven sin will tear us apart. So David continues and he says, when I kept silence. In other words, he's saying, when I wouldn't acknowledge my sin, when I just kind of went, la, 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 it's no big deal. I know I did it, but, you know, I'm back in church now and I'm just singing praises and whatever. And I'm going to forget about what I did. And God will probably forget about what I did too. And I'm just going to kind of move on with things. When I kept silent, David said, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand, God, was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah. You know? That's what David wrote here. Kind of sit back and think about that, he's saying. Think about how intense that is. What that unforgiven sin was doing to this man. Unconfessed sin was doing to this guy. It was tearing him apart. From the inside out, even his bones, even his energy, physically even, it was tearing him apart because of his refusal to repent. My senior year of high school, some of you have heard some of this story, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. You can just imagine, and you'll probably be right half the time. Anyway, my senior year of high school, I chose to kind of do things my own way, and I chose, in many ways, a lifestyle of sin. Kind of did some things I wanted to do that I knew was wrong. I was saved. I was born again in Christ. I was baptized into Christ Jesus. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. In my senior year, I gave in to my flesh. temptation. But I was tormented through it all. I was tormented. There was no peace in my life, in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. I mean, I was messed up. I felt horrible. The Holy Spirit was challenging me. The Holy Spirit was convicting me of the sin that I was partaking in. And you know what? I thank God for that. I thank God that I wasn't okay. I thank God that he was making it uncomfortable. That he was making it hard. This is what King David was experiencing when he talked about that groaning all day long. And maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've been there where you're just so torn up in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, because you know that you're out of God's will. You know that you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. You know that that's not who you are. You know that you're born again in Christ. You know that you're a new creation. Yet you've stepped back in to that garbage. And you've. I would imagine most of us have been there. The nice thing is that that's not where we have to stay. Thinking of that passage of scripture, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up. King David was groaning all day long because of his unconfessed sin. His strength was being sapped because God's hand was heavy on him. And I was just thinking about this, even right now, just thinking about that. I mean, maybe some of what you're going through in life right now, maybe that feeling that you have of you just feel this weight upon you. I want to encourage you. If you just feel like every day you're walking around with this weight and this heaviness and your joy is always getting robbed, I'm not saying this is it for you or not, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to say right now, examine yourself. Examine your life. Is there something going on? Is there something that is happening in your life that you're engaging in, that you're allowing to happen in your life that's out of order, that's unconfessed, that's unforgiven, that you need to bring before the Lord? Maybe that'll snap you out of it. There's a good chance that it will. David, his sin was actually tearing him up so much it was making him physically sick. So the Lord gave me this statement, says that there is no peace where there is no forgiveness. How many of you know that? I'm not getting a lot of amens this morning, by the way. That's not a good way to welcome your pastor back, you know, his quietness and all that, you know. I get it, I know. This is not necessarily one of those, amen, brother, I'm with you. But hey, I'm up here, true confessions, right, of a pastor, you know, I mean, come on now. There's no peace when there's no forgiveness. There's only torment. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no peace where there's no forgiveness. And so I just want to say it again. If you are struggling finding peace in your life, and again, I'm not saying that it's this, but it might be. Is there an area of your life that you need to put under the lordship of Christ Jesus, that you need to submit to him, that you need to confess, that you need to come back into alignment and agreement with God's righteousness? Is there an area of your life like that? And I'm telling you, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit has already let you know what that is. You came in here today already knowing what that is. There's no peace where there's no forgiveness. But let's flip that around. There is peace where there is forgiveness. There is peace where there's forgiveness. There is peace, there's comfort where The blood of Christ has covered it. So why remain silent? Why do they live their life being okay with unforgiven sin? What's up with that? What keeps us from confessing our sin? From just coming before the Lord like David here, and it's like, hey, it's too long, God. I've been doing this too long. I've been silent too long. I've been messing around too long, and I am torn up. God, forgive me. What keeps us from doing that? A couple things I thought about. Number one's pride, right? Anybody else? I mean, for me, when there's sin in my life, it's often pride that keeps me from humbling myself and confessing my sin to God, my wife, to kids, whoever, right? Pride steps in there. We don't want to admit we're wrong. I hate admitting that I'm wrong, but I get to do it a lot. Hey, I did it Friday, by the way. So Friday, Velvet and I were talking. We were spending time outside enjoying all the rain under the gazebo that I built, you know, last year. So great to have a covered gazebo. You know, we get to sit out in the rain. It's got a tin roof, and you just hear it. My mother-in-law, Carol, loves that sound, so I'll make a video of the rain hitting the tin roof and send it to her, reminds her when she was growing up as a kid in Tennessee, you know, and all that stuff. And so we're out there enjoying the rain, and Velvet makes this statement, man, I think there's been more rain today in the last 24 hours than we had all last, what's the season that we're in right now, the monsoon. Thank you. I was thinking haboob. I hate that word, haboob. But anyway, in the monsoon season, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so, honey. It rained a lot last year and all that. So I kind of just kind of like, yeah, if you're, anyway. So then I'm looking some things up online, and this thing comes across my screen that mentions that we've had more rain in the last 2 days than we had all last July or monsoon season, like the exact same thing. And Velvet wasn't with me at that time, but I took a screenshot of that on my phone, and I'm like, I'm going to humble myself right now. I'm going to do the right thing. She hasn't seen this. I can just be quiet and pretend I didn't see it, but I saw it, and I know it was God saying, man up. Admit that she was right. So I sent her a picture of it on a text. I said, honey, you were right. She appreciated that. Guys, our wives appreciate that, all right? Anyway, we hate admitting that we're wrong. It's pride, right? You know who else hates admitting that they're wrong? The government hates admitting that they're wrong. How many of you know that? They hate it. They hate it. They won't do it. They won't do it. They'll keep digging it deeper and deeper and deeper before they're going to admit that they're wrong, right? The media, they're not going to admit that they're wrong. They're going to just keep with the narrative, spin. Dr. Fauci won't admit when he's wrong. I just saw some things with him, with Dr. Rand Paul. Anyway, people don't like admitting that they're wrong, confessing their sin. It's pride. And it keeps people from receiving what they need, and that's forgiveness. What keeps us from confessing our sin? I wrote down number two here, lust, meaning we like our sin. Why don't we confess our sin? Why don't we bring it before the Lord? Because if I actually confess it and bring it before the Lord, then I got to stop it. I like actually fessed up, you know what I mean? And once you fess up, you better stop, right? I can't just go, la, 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 I'm really not, no, nobody sees this anymore, right? So we often don't confess our sin because we like it. It feels good. So we close our eyes. We keep on sinning. You know, our old man, our flesh, that's our old man. Supposed to be dead, right? But he kind of hangs around and says, hey, remember me, you know? Remember what I like, you know? And tempts us. The old man likes sin. The flesh likes sin. That's why Scripture tells us that we got to crucify the flesh daily. Daily. Crucify the flesh. So our pride, lust of our flesh keeps us from the joy of forgiveness. So what can we do about it? Point number three. What can we do about it? I wanted to title this point, just, it's time to man up. It's time to man up. And it really is. Point number three, the importance of confession. Let's continue with what David is crying out here to the Lord. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you. Remember? He didn't confess it. It was tearing him up inside. He was getting sick over it. He had no peace. It was ruining his life. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, here, right? The first four verses of Psalm 32. But then he manned up. And he said, then I acknowledged my sin to you, God. And I did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And you forgave me. I mean, just think about that. Y'all have been there. You're like, how am I gonna confess this, you know? I mean, he's going to just like whack me upside the head. I'm done because I've done this before. David brings this before the Lord, confesses his sin, and he says, and God, you forgave me the guilt of my sin. He didn't beat him up. He didn't go, okay, David, appreciate that. Now I'm going to go embarrass you in front of everybody. David had already done that, by the way, embarrassed himself. But no, David admitted his guilt, and he was pardoned. He was forgiven by God, the one who is perfectly righteous and holy. He was forgiven. That's called mercy, church. Mercy. Notice David didn't give some quick off-the-cuff kind of comment to the Lord when he came before him to confess his sin. It wasn't like, oh, God, you know, I'm praying, and Lord, you're good, and I just need you, you know, to take care of me, and would you help me with my job, and forgive me of that sin I did, and you know, that thing over there, you know, anyway, and Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't some like afterthought, some kind of throw in, you know, the mix kind of a thing that when he confessed his sin before the Lord. David came to the throne of God and he poured out his sin and his sinful nature before the Lord. And because he confessed his sins, because he manned up and didn't hide it and brought it before the Lord, because he came to God in repentance, with sorrow, godly sorrow. Because of that, he was forgiven. He was set free. He wasn't forgiven just because he said, forgive me, by the way. It was more than just some words. You read this. You read what he was saying here. I mean, he's torn up inside. He's broken because of his sin. He's coming before the Lord like serious. Not an afterthought. This wasn't some kind of throwaway statement, jumping through some religious hoop. This was a man broken up, godly sorrow, coming before the Lord with a repentant heart. And I wrote in my notes here, there is nothing automatic or cheap about forgiveness. There isn't. I read Oswald Chambers. By the way, it's still a great daily devotional. My utmost for his highest. It really is. This is what Oswald Chambers has to say about this topic. He said, beware of the pleasant view of the fatherhood of God. God is so kind and loving that, of course, he will forgive us. That thought, based solely on emotion, cannot be found anywhere in the New Testament. The only basis on which God can forgive us is the tremendous tragedy of the cross of Christ. To base our forgiveness on any other ground is unconscious blasphemy. The only ground on which God can forgive our sin and reinstate us to his favor is through the cross of Christ. There is no other way. Forgiveness, which is so easy for us to accept, costs the agony of Calvary. We should never take the forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our sanctification in simple faith, and then forget the enormous cost to God that made all of this ours. Again, forgiveness is a big deal. And it is ours to freely receive. But it was costly. Forgiveness, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 4, which, by the way, quotes and ties back in Psalm 32, that kind of forgiveness is grace, is by grace and through faith. So just like King David, we are forgiven only when we have faith in Christ. You see, confession without faith and the grace of Christ will not bring forgiveness. It's just empty words with no foundation. It's both. You need both. So why do you need both? Because confession without Christ is a waste of words. It is. It's just empty talk. And you know how that is when somebody asks, hey, would you forgive me? And you know it's just, what is this, right? Empty words. Confession for our sins to receive true forgiveness, eternal forgiveness, impossible. That's impossible without Christ. And faith in Christ without confession is a false faith. You can't say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and not come before him with a broken heart and confess your sin with repentance. It's both and. Confession in Christ, or faith in Christ without confession, is a false faith. First John 1:9 says this, though, if we confess our sins, he, meaning God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we see how this works. We can carry it around. We can make up our own rules about how we're going to do this and live our lives and deal with sin in our lives and how we're going to deal with it when we miss the mark and how we're going to manage, you know, our flesh and all of this kind of stuff. We can do that and live in agony and peril, frankly. Or we can do it God's way and we can bring it with godly sorrow before the Lord, confess, and God will forgive us and purify us. I mean, God always takes it to the next level. He always goes above and beyond what we could ever hope, think, or even imagine. God is so good. I mean, he doesn't just say, I'm glad that you confessed that. Don't mess up anymore. Kicks you in the butt as you walk out the door. He doesn't do that. He restores us. He purifies us. All things made new. And then he doesn't think about it anymore. It's as far as the east is from. When the blood of Christ, his son, covers our sins, when the blood of Christ is applied to our sin, it's done. It's done. It is done. Finished. It's done. So that brings me to the final point, point number four. When God forgives, it's for real. It's for real. You got it? When God forgives, it's for real. It's a done deal. And it's the promise of God that when we've fallen at the foot of the cross with a contrite, broken and contrite heart and confess our sins, that we are forgiven. And if you've done this, you are forgiven. Because here's what goes on. Let's look at the other side of this whole thing. We come before the Lord. We do what David's done here. We've brought our lives and we've confessed our sin before the Lord. And he's forgiven us. He's justified us. He's made us new. He's washed us white as snow. Our sins are from the east as to the west. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's wow. And then these little voices come back in. Yeah, but maybe not. And you know where all of a sudden out of the blue comes this thought. But remember when you were a senior in high school, Eric? And you did that? Who do you think you are? Remember that? And then I get all pulled back. That's a tendency, right? And I got to remind myself, no. That guy's dead. He's dead. This is me now. This is the new Eric, the forgiven Eric. Because when God forgives, it's for real. It's for real. I'm going to say this again. If you've truly confessed your sins before God with a repentant heart, and you know if you've done that or not, you know. And you're forgiven. If you're in Christ Jesus and you've confessed your sins before him, you're forgiven. And you need to experience the joy of forgiveness today. And there may be people in the room right now that struggle with that because it does seem impossible, but God is the God of impossible. It does seem like, how could he really do that? And the thoughts come back up of what you've done, and no. It is finished. You are forgiven. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Not just for a season, not just for a moment, not just when you emotionally feel it or not. No, this is done. Who the Son sets free is really free. Perfect timing. I want to end with verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 32. This is how David wraps up this emotional, amazing time that he's having with the Lord. And I pray that if you need this kind of a God moment in your life, that you will have that kind of a moment even today. You need to come before the Lord in this way like David has here in Psalm 32. Man, my prayer is that you would come before him today in this way. Because here's how it ends up. He says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. Now look at this. He went from this place of just feeling like he's beat up, he's torn up because of his sin, because he wasn't confessing it. He comes before the Lord. He brings all his garbage before God. He receives forgiveness, and now he's crying out to God saying, you are my hiding place, verse 7. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Now stop and think about that. Take that in. I want to invite you to take the elements of communion. Grab those in your hand. Ben, would you bring me a packet? I forgot mine. I think so. It's on the floor. Thank you. This is the baby of the family right here, Ben. I know he doesn't look like a baby. He's a man. That guy's a man. If you need elements, there are some right outside the doors. Please grab those and come on back. I want us to be a people who are filled with the joy of forgiveness. I want to be a people who don't hesitate to confess our sins before God. And by his grace, through our faith in Christ Jesus, be forgiven. Walk in freedom and the joy of forgiveness. So I just want to spend just 1 minute here before we take these elements and we remember the cost of this forgiveness. What Christ did on the cross. I want you just to examine your heart even right now. Just close your eyes. This is between you and the Lord. Just examine your heart. Be real with yourself before God. He sees, he knows. Is there sin in your life that needs confessing? Take this opportunity right here, right now. Big, little, small, large, whatever. Confess that before the Lord. Amen. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread, he broke it, he passed it out to his disciples. And he said something mysterious, really, at the time. He said, this broken bread is my body. He was talking to them, showing them what was about to happen to him. The price that was about to be paid for their forgiveness. So right now together, let's take and let's eat this bread and let's remember what Christ has done for us. In a similar manner, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup represents my blood. And he's talking about his blood that's about to be spilled. And then he says that this is bringing about a new covenant. We have a new covenant in Christ Jesus. We have forgiveness in and through Christ Jesus. We have life in and through and because Christ Jesus, him going to the cross, fulfilled all things. So as you take and drink, remember that Jesus' blood was spilled. And when we submit our lives under that, that we are forgiven and that we are cleansed and we are made new. Let's take and drink and remember. Would you stand up?
Within me because you died.